Hello, friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Before we take you to your favorite Sports History Network show, just want to tell you a little bit about some merch that you can pick up that represents your favorite SHN podcast. So far, there's t-shirts, coffee mugs, and even books from some of the authors that do podcasts right here on SHN. Who could buy something better than that than have the history right from the gentleman that you hear talking about it? But we also are adding things each and every day. And where's that store, may you ask? Well, it's at SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Up at the top, there is the SHN merch button. Click on that. It'll take you right to the store, and you can be representing your favorite podcast and show the world that, hey, on the swag that I'm using, it's the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear, Sports History Network, and my favorite podcaster, the Sports History Network store. Shop there today.
Bar coming up the middle, free safety.
And welcome back to the playbook. I'm Jared. This is Zach. And this week, we're going to be bringing you a bunch of news about the NFL and college football. We have a lot of injury reports, a lot of breakdowns of specific games from last week. We're going to dig a little deep into next week's games. But that's what we have for you today, guys.
Yeah, we're going to start off with the NCAA. Like this week, pretty much the same as the week before, it's kind of cupcake-ish. Like, you had a couple close games here and about, but, like, not really too much. This week coming up is the week to watch the games these big games. But you did have a couple of them. You had, first of all, Syracuse versus UVA.
And one of the main reasons why I brought this game up was it wasn't that it was, like, a huge game. But it was a game of implications for Syracuse. They were a 3-0 team, which now went to 4-0 with a 22-20 win. But it was a game that all dictated on field goals. There was 5 field goals kicked in this game.
Yes, and y'all got to give Syracuse some love. What, they're still unranked?
From my knowledge, yes, they're still unranked.
So
it might be 25-1.
4-0, still unranked. Mm-hmm. But you got Texas A&M, who lost to Appalachian State.
Yep.
I mean, they did have a big game against Arkansas, and we'll get to that later. But if you're undefeated, you're undefeated.
No, I agree. That was like all the hate Florida State was getting for the first after week 3, they weren't ranked. Like it took them winning week 4 to finally get a ranking, and they only got up to 23, I think it was.
I mean,
to me it's a little ridiculous.
Oh, it is a little ridiculous, but let's get on to the next game. What you got for us, Jared?
Georgia and Kent State. You would think that we wouldn't even talk about this game. But Georgia allowed 22 points from an unranked Kent State. UGA didn't look like UGA.
No, they didn't. And Kent State didn't look like Kent State at all. Georgia kind of, I feel like they overlooked because it's Kent State. Can you tell me where Kent State's from? And if you tell me Kent...
No. Kent State, is it Ohio?
I don't know.
I want to say it's in Ohio, but Georgia's corners, their backfield, allowed 174 passing yards.
Their defense allowed 22 points.
I mean, from Kent State, like, if they allowed 174 passing yards from, I don't know.
South Carolina.
Ohio, Oregon.
Yeah, like, you know, the teams Oregon, they played.
Oregon didn't even have 174 passing yards, I don't think, against Georgia.
No, none of the teams combined had 22 points, and then you had little old Kent State come into Athens and make it a game for 3.5 quarters.
How?
Dude.
And how does this happen?
Oh, where it says they're from? Oh, they're from Ohio. Kent, Ohio.
I told you. And they are from Kent. But just in Ohio. But no. They allowed 174 passing yards. They allowed 90 receiving yards to one receiver alone. So that is just it was almost like watching a little bit of Alabama Texas, except Texas is an actual
program.
But for Kent to put up 22 points on Georgia was just kind of something that we weren't expecting to see. If you know what I'm saying, like, I would never have put in this game on week 4 roundups.
Oh, no. Definitely not.
But when Kent puts up 22, it's just kind of like, wow, what happened? Was it just a freak weekend?
Yes. I feel like it's a freak weekend. I think Georgia's going to clean it up. And we'll probably talk about who they got next week.
Yeah, we'll be talking about who they got next week in our next little segment.
But sticking with the SEC East, a big game for the SEC East altogether was Tennessee versus Florida, which it's not saying a lot about Florida. I understand your first-year head coach. Mm-hmm. It's saying a lot about Tennessee.
And where they're at as a program.
Yes, because what? That's their second team they beat that ranked in top 25?
It is, and it's also Heupel's second year as head coach. Like, he had the program kind of moving, having good progression toward the end of last season.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, he has done a great job so far this season.
And speaking about Florida real quick, I know Florida fans, some of them, the extremists, like every football fan has, expected them to be like, oh, we're going to make it to the SEC championship. We got a new head coach. But realistic fans, they saw, they're like, hey, new head coach. It's going to take time to get to where we need to be.
Well, look at your guy, Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Kirby Smart, Georgia. Both of them coaches went like right over 500 their first year. I think one was 7 and
Nick Saban was 7 wins.
And then and
Kirby, I want to say Kirby was 8 or 9.
But still, sub 10 wins. There's no shot at you know what I'm saying, like the playoffs or anything. But look where they're at now.
Yeah.
Look what both of them.
One's a multinational champion and one just won his first.
Exactly. And it's just one of them things where Tennessee's doing great. But Florida fans got to just sit back and let the process unfold. But
do I think this is Tennessee's year? No.
I don't think it's Tennessee's year, but I think Tennessee has a very good shot to win 10 or 11 games.
They're about to come up on Murder's Row soon.
But I think with the speed of Tennessee's offense, I think they can overcome quite a bit of that.
Yeah, but they're not in the most favorable position being matched up with Georgia, Alabama.
No, 100%. I mean, but I tell you, 38-33. As a Gator fan, I'm not upset with that.
We
came back. The Gators were down. They came back in the fourth quarter to really make it a ball game, and then they got the onside kick. That was the craziest part about it. They got the onside kick. It was just
their offense couldn't do nothing.
They just could not get that over that last little hump.
And that's been Florida's problem. Besides that one Kyle Trask year, is just y'all's defense can't produce stops, and special teams can't produce that outcome. But your offense is the one that's been, we're slowing you down a little. We're slowing you down.
And I tell you what I really liked out of this game is the attitude both teams brought to the venue.
Yes.
It wasn't just one team was pushing another team around. There was attitude in this game.
It was scrappy. It was a scrappy game.
And you had players playing injured. That was a big thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, per se Dan Mullen's program and per se the previous coach at Tennessee, they didn't seem like they were all in, if you will.
Oh, no, they weren't.
But if you look at both of these programs right now, Tennessee and Florida, both programs look like those players are bought in and they're willing to work through injuries and pains to keep playing because they want to win.
And both of these teams, they're both bowl-bound. I don't see them, none of them, not making a bowl.
I got a question for you. What's your biggest upset of the weekend? It was amazing.
So this is calling back on Texas A&M paying their opponent $1.5 million. You got Miami paying Middle Tennessee to come in Miami to hold him to 1.6 yards a carry.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. You
45 saw that stat to 31. Too? Like, Miami, what are y'all doing? We projected y'all to be up there with Clemson to rock with the ACC. Now Florida State's the ones like, hey, Clemson, we're back. We might not be 2015, but we're coming with a fight.
I'm telling you, this is another situation that it sucks to say, but just like how Florida almost got knocked off against USF, it happened to Miami.
Yes.
And it
happened a lot more this year.
But it happened. Middle Tennessee is tiny.
Oh, it's very tiny.
And it was. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of beautiful to see.
Oh my god!
It's kind of beautiful to see.
If you're not a Miami fan, you're happy because let's be honest. What is the one school? But I can name four schools off the top of my head right now that are, what would you say, like, overhyped in a sense, You got USC. Always seems like they're overhyped. Notre Dame.
Definitely Notre Dame.
Miami.
100%.
And then we could say...
It used to be Georgia. Before Georgia became like what they have been, for years they would be like, they're winning it all.
I would say Oregon.
Oregon's a good one. I'll give you Oregon. Another one would be... well, no, that would be a previous. I was going to say Michigan.
Michigan. I was thinking that too, but they made it to the playoffs.
It's been a while, but yeah, they made it. I got the dark horse.
Who?
The UCF Knights.
They're national champions,
bro. They have the biggest hype on their own selves. It's amazing,
dude. They won the national championship in 14 or something.
I want to get back on topic because I have a stat.
Give it to me.
Yo, Chase Cunningham of Middle Tennessee, he went 16-25 for 408 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Give him the Heisman.
defense. Like, that's amazing. Great job, Chase. Like, that you did that against...
And you mean tell what's funny? Middle Tennessee has scored more points against Miami than Texas A&M did.
So are you telling me that we need to have potentially Middle Tennessee at like 25?
Middle Tennessee takes Mizzou spot in the SEC.
Oh my gosh, they could, because they'd actually be in the Southeast.
Exactly. No, and they're a better football program.
Oh my God, they'd probably have a fit about it though, because they'd put 3 Tennessee teams in the SEC.
I mean, okay, let's be honest. Tennessee, they're coming back. Vandy's just there so we can say, hey, we have a smart school.
Well, it's like Duke to ACC.
Football.
That's what I'm saying. Duke's football and Vandy's football was very, very equal for a long time. I mean, Duke's got a little bit better now, but Duke is the smart school, the ACC, and then Vandy's
school. Their sports are swept around. Duke's a basketball school. Vandy's a baseball school. Vandy's you could beat our ass on the gridiron.
We'll take the diamond.
We'll see you on the diamond this spring.
They got a baseball team. Yes. We'll talk about that in a few months. But how about? Let's shift back to the Big 12.
Oh, Lord.
Kansas State, 41, Oklahoma, 34. How about that, dude?
Get out. Go to the SEC, Oklahoma. Kansas State has it.
Oh, my God. It was
big
amazing.
Boy
it was,
ball.
I did not. I picked them to win, but I didn't think it would be that good of a game. Like, K-State was like... owning the game.
Oh, they like I said, big boy ball. They just held both sides of the ball, and you have a typical Big 12 high-scoring game because no one knows what defense is.
From my understanding, the quarterback, Adrian Martinez had all the touchdowns. He ran 4 touchdowns in. He had 4 touchdowns on foot. Yeah, and then he threw for the last one. I lied. He threw for 1. He ran for 4, threw for 1.
He's responsible for all of them, though.
K-State possessed the ball for 35 minutes in that game and had 509 total yards of offense.
God. That's just Big 12 defense, though. Like,
no. Who's their coach?
Is it still that old?
No, it's not.
I don't know.
Clemson. Brett Venable.
Oh my God.
Who is what? A very defensive-minded coach. And for him to give up 509 yards, bro. Like, I guarantee you, them boys be running this week.
Yeah, but, like, you can't be surprised. That's Big 12 football, though. What have you saw in the past 5-6 years a stout Big 12 defense?
Baylor.
And what'd they do? Win.
Last year, their defense was pretty good.
And what'd they do?
They lost in the Big 12 championship to Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
That was a good game, though.
Yeah, it was an excellent game.
That was a damn good game.
Excellent game.
But K-State and OU, I was happy that K-State won because I picked them, but like very shocked that they won, to be honest with you, because I was kind of picking it like, I'm probably going to lose this one. But like...
Let me shake it up.
Yeah. And it shook up nice, but... Did not expect that.
Oh, no. I did not either.
You know, so, like, Dylan Gabriel threw for 330 yards. Their defense just could not hold K-State that night. It was, I mean, literally
K-State. It was just They were meant to win. They were meant to win, and you can't really argue on that one.
Hey, you you see any big shakeups in the top 25 this week?
Both. I know OU and Arkansas dropping.
Yep.
That. I mean, I'm sorry to hear about that, Arkansas, but you lost to the team that lost to Appalachian State.
Hey, shout out to the AP and coaches though for finally putting Florida State in there at 23.
Like, okay, this is just me being a hater. Like, congratulations, Florida State. I don't like Florida State.
I hate Florida State.
Let me rephrase that. I don't like Florida State fans because I see it all over my social media.
I got Florida State fans that are friends. But what I'm saying, though, is like I'm a Gator fan, so I just dislike Florida State like heavily.
I just don't like – just because I live in Florida and like all Florida team fans are just toxic to me.
Oh, come on, man. It's just
– all of them are.
Have you heard what Alabama fans sound like?
Roll Tide.
Exactly. You made my point right there.
We've won the most national championships. We can act however we want.
I mean, that's that. Man, you're starting to sound like a New England Patriots fan. We've won so much it doesn't matter anymore, you know? Like,
oh my God. Tom! But our Tom's Nick.
Hey, let's go over some week five pickups, man.
Oh,
I got a.
Gosh. What's the first game you got for me?
Well, I picked out five games here, and the first one I got for us is Kentucky at Ole Miss. It's at 12 p.m., and the line is Mississippi by 6.5.
Oh, dang. Who you got?
I have Ole Miss 42, Kentucky 35.
Well, I'm going to go with my Wildcats because you know where I'm from, Baker County Wildcats. Got to go with the Wildcat clan.
Yeah.
38-30.
That's a good pick, man. They got the running back back.
Oh, they do.
Kentucky got the running back back. So, I mean, that could actually be a big difference. Next game I have is, obviously I know who you're going to pick, is Alabama at Arkansas. It's a 3:30 game. It's on the horrible station of CBS.
And talk bad about Gary Danielson.
Oh, God. You would love Gary Danielson.
I love Gary.
Well, because all he does is praise Alabama and Georgia.
Okay.
God forbid they play anybody. I swear, whenever, and I know we're going to get off topic here for half a second.
Yeah, half a second.
But you done brought, you poked the bear on this one. Holy Jesus. I cannot watch a single college football game on CBS. Like, especially when Florida's playing. Like, for instance, last Saturday's game versus Tennessee was on CBS. There was not one positive thing said at all from Gary Danielson. Like, at all about Florida. It was all like, Tennessee this, Tennessee that. Tennessee is going this way. Tennessee is great.
To be honest, I hate Gary. Because, like, I'm like, dude, Alabama had a horrible play. Well, Bryce Young just showed why he can evade. All he had to do was just throw it out of bounds, and it would have been an excellent play. Like,
if you want a prime example of how ridiculous they sound, go back and watch a Georgia-Alabama game that was broadcasted on CBS.
The SEC Championship.
Holy Jesus.
No one did wrong.
Nobody did wrong. They could overthrow the receiver, and you know, he's a little cloudy in the brains on this pass. He'll get it back next time. Just look out for it.
That's why he's our Heisman favorite. Gary, that's just a warm up guy. He's just throwing it.
I'd say but to bring it back, yes, Alabama at Arkansas, 3:30 on CBS. Who you got?
I got Alabama 38, Arkansas 28. It's going to be a close game.
You think it's
going to
be that close?
I feel like it's going. A lot of people, they're expecting a typical Alabama game.
I'm going to sound like more of an Alabama fan than you.
Yeah, but it's just one of the things.
45-21, Alabama.
I like that score. I mean, personally, I like that score, but
that's a realistic score. I think the line on this game is 17.5 points. But the last time they had about a 20-point line.
It got close. It got nice.
It got really close.
This is at Alabama?
No, this is in Arkansas.
Yeah, that's the same exact thing.
Yeah, this is in Jerry Jones World.
Ooh, not Jerry World.
This is Jerry World 2.0. This is Jerry World Pee-wee Field. Oh,
my God. What's the next game you got for
me? Next game I got for us is Oklahoma State at Baylor. It's also a 3:30 game, and Baylor is a 2.5-point favorite in this one.
I got Baylor 35-30. And it's not a typical Big 12 shootout, but it's going to be fun offensively. Defense, you're going to be like, what's happening here?
I agree. I think Oklahoma State's got a really good offense, Baylor as well. I think Baylor's defense is a little bit weaker than it was last year because of the turnover with the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I have Oklahoma State 38, and I have Baylor 33 in this game. I have maybe a touch of an upset here, I guess. But I don't know. I'm feeling good about Oklahoma State this year.
Feeling good about the Cowboys?
Hey, Cowboys. Cowboys it is. Hey, next game, Wake Forest at undefeated Florida State. Is this a trap game for Florida State?
It's going to act like a trap game. It's going to look like that Georgia-Kent State game that we were talking about earlier. But I have FSU squeaking it out, even though, like I said, don't like the criminals. 28-20.
28-20. You know, that's probably more of a realistic score than what I have. But watching their games, that offense is flowing like a Mike Norvell offense that he had in Memphis.
Yeah.
And it's fast. It's up-tempo. He's got giants as wide receivers, and he's got a really good running back. So, I mean, I've got FSU 42, Wake 38. It's a tight game, I think, because of the quarterbacks. Wake Forest has got a really good quarterback. I give the nod to FSU in this because it's in Florida State. They have Florida State as a 6.5-point underdog. So they're giving them a touchdown to play with, but I got it as a tighter game. I don't think they make the spread.
And Jared, call out this last one for us.
NC State at Clemson. This is actually, am I wrong on this? Hold on. 2 seconds. I want to say this is a top 10 matchup, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it?
Sorry, guys. Give me one
I think
second.
This might be the first time that this is – if it is.
So, Wake Forest and Florida State is 22 versus 23, so that's a top 25 matchup.
Yep.
And then if we roll on down to Clemson-NC State, 5 versus 10. This is a top 10
I think
battle.
This is the first time this has been a top 10. Look that up real quick. How many times NC State versus Clemson has been a top 10 battle ever? I want to say this is the first time. Well, why he looks that up, I know this is going to be a real – this is a primetime game at Death Valley. And even though I'm an Alabama fan, Death Valley is probably one of my favorite places to watch a football game.
I agree. That's a cool stadium.
Oh, my God. Especially the rundown.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Chef's kiss. But my prediction on this NC State-Clemson game is I got the Wolfpack pulling the upset on the number 5 Clemson Tigers with a 35-30 win.
Really?
Dude.
35-30 NC State upset?
Upset in Death Valley.
Is it because Clemson can't get that offense going?
No, I a little bit of that and then a little bit of just college football craziness.
I'm not really finding anywhere.
I don't worry about it.
How many times? But I will say this. This is the first time that you've seen two ACC programs like this probably in the top 10 since Florida State and Miami back in the day.
Florida State, Clemson too.
What, the Jimbo Fisher era.
Yeah.
I could see something like that, but it's not Florida State.
It's not Florida State.
It's NC State. I've never really ever seen NC State ranked like this.
Oh my God.
So I would love for that.
They've been the little brothers.
Yes. And I've got Clemson winning 38-33, but I really would like your prediction to come true because
I would love it.
To see Dabo take a hit.
My gosh. And before we get to the next one, here soon, probably in the next couple episodes, we'll be starting off our giveaway for the NFL season. And we're going to set that up in next video, but we're going to set up a drawing where we get a helmet of your favorite team, like one of them little Rydell helmets.
That's cool.
A jersey, and maybe some other memorabilia. So always remember, keep subscribed so you could have that. And then now we're going to talk about the big boys in the NFL.
Busy weekend.
First game I really want to talk about, and we'll get to this Thursday's game later, but I want to talk about this previous week. So the first one, the toilet bowl game, Bears versus Texans, 23-20. No one wanted to win that game.
You know, and it just seems that way about every single Texans game. It seems like no one wants to win that game. Think about it.
Yeah.
Week one, they tied. Week two, they were tied. Did they go into overtime in week two as well?
Who are they? They played the 49ers?
And it was like, no. I'm gonna have to pull this up now.
Yeah, you're going, but I totally get what you're saying. Like,
nobody wants to beat Houston, and Houston doesn't want to win.
Have this win, Houston. No. What do you mean, Houston?
The Broncos. 16-9.
Like, don't they have start on the Broncos, but
the Texans have a top 10 defense right now.
Yes.
I mean, understand, very, very early in the season. But they have a top 10 defense.
And they also played the Colts, Broncos, and Bears.
So, I mean, it ain't like, it's not like they played, you know what I'm saying, like some weak football teams. Like, they played the Colts that were a playoff team last year. Actually, I'm sorry, I lied. They got knocked out by your Jaguars. But yes, they were a playoff contending team last year.
They were in the race.
Broncos, I mean, they're supposed to be a playoff team this year. And I mean, the Bears is the most even competition there.
I could also say the Falcons.
But they haven't played them yet.
I don't think they played this year.
I'd say out of the three games that they've played.
Oh, okay.
The Chicago game should have been like the only game they potentially won.
Yeah, and I think they're tanking.
I mean, if
you could watch their football games, you know they're tanking.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
So the next game I really want to talk about is the Titans Raiders.
The battle of the 0-3s, man. That was
0-2s. So 1-0 had to go.
1-0 had to go. 1-0 had to go. And you know, I'm wondering what's going on with the Raiders.
I'm thinking Davante Adams is regretting his decision because Derek Carr is not looking.
Do you think
the best quarterback Devontae's ever played with?
But do you think Derek Carr's trying to maybe push the ball too much just to Davante Adams instead of like,
speaking as a former owner of Davante Adams in fantasy? No.
I mean, why not?
I mean, if I can remember correctly, I want to say he only had like 5 targets last week and like 6 targets the next week.
Okay.
You can check that real quick, but with the Raiders, I just don't think that offensive scheme is all the way there.
It's not fully kicked in?
No, I don't think it's fully kicked in.
So do you feel by per se week 6 we might be seeing a little bit more?
I can say this. If you're a Raiders fan, start panicking.
Really?
Start panicking. Like, you're saying,
and I know where this is going into fantasy realm a little bit. So are you saying that the trade we had for Davante Adams, you feel like I got the first year of him possibly being a dud?
Possibly. It's not Davante Adams being a dud. It's that offensive scheme. I think their coach is an idiot.
Wow. Didn't see that one coming out of you.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't like Josh McDaniels?
No, I don't like Josh McDaniels.
I really feel like if he can get that offense clicking, it would work great because it's the same offense that has won like 7 Super Bowls.
Yeah, but there's a whole difference though.
Well,
one has Tom Brady, and you can hate on Tom Brady as much as you want. He could throw the football. Like, people hate greatness.
Yeah.
People hated Michael Jordan. People hate LeBron. People hate Tom Brady. And it's not because, like, they could come up with their own things. Oh, the flight gate. Oh, supply gate. Oh, da-da-da gate. Oh, the open gate. But he's won that many championships and only been suspended because of deflated balls?
Well, I mean, there probably could have been a couple other suspensions in there. There probably could have been. I mean, look, if you think about it. Like, if we're are we really gonna get on the
Tom Brady? No, let's just,
because like, if you think about it, like, every scandal that's happened since Deflategate has involved Tom Brady in some sense.
We've talked about that in episode 1, but I'm just saying though, the man wins.
I agree with you on that.
And
the man wins.
Derek Carr does not win. He hasn't proved to me yet. So Raiders,
he is showing a lower QBR so far this year. He's only taken 7 sacks, which the offensive line is kind of doing their job.
And so you can't blame the offensive line.
So I'm not blaming the offensive line. He's on average of like, he's throwing like 26, 44, 25, 39. So he's like right in 22 of 37. I mean, he had over 300 passing yards against Tennessee, but I guess.
Here's the thing, though. The one thing I don't say you're at DEFCON 1, nukes are coming at your stadium, is because y'all have lost close games.
Yeah.
What's the average?
Well, shit, I can't say nothing, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, I don't know. I agree with you. I don't know if we're in freak out mode yet.
I say freak out, but not fully red button panic.
Yeah, I think we're missing the playoffs this year as Raiders.
Yes.
We're missing the playoffs, but I think we come in close like Indy. I think we're just having a rough start. You remember the year last year, Mahomes? Was it last year, Mahomes? Like went like horrible at the beginning of the season and then just like turned it on. I'm a completely different situation, everyone. Please do not. I'm not comparing Derek Carr to Mahomes.
I am.
I definitely am not. Mahomes is a way better quarterback. But what I'm trying to get to is like he is a tenured quarterback. He does have a great supporting cast. I feel like maybe we just got some speed bumps that were a little bit bigger than we were expecting at the beginning of the season.
That's another reason why I'm saying don't hit that red button of bail.
Oh, I thought you were saying hit the red button.
No, I'm saying like you're like, oh shit, there's a fire, but don't eject.
Okay.
It was a close game of 0-2 teams.
It was. It's just so disappointing seeing these two like really good teams be so shitty so far this year.
No, it's not.
It isn't. It is. I mean, for you, it is because Tennessee and they're in your division.
Yeah.
But like, it just. Getting rid of A.J. Brown was detrimental to that team.
So there's one quick game I want to talk about before we get into the other one I have written down. And this is going with the second AFC West team to lose to an AFC South team, Kansas City versus Indianapolis.
Wow.
Does the AFC South have the AFC's West number?
The Colts.
1-1-1.
Bro, way to fill up all the fucking spots.
I don't understand. Like... So, we listen here as a Jaguars fan.
Let's go.
You tie with the Texans.
Yes.
You get stomped by Jacksonville. Yes. Who, at this moment right now, is looking like a serious playoff contender.
And I think I called a little bit of that.
But anyways, and then you go and beat Kansas City. Bro. Mind you, it's in Indianapolis, but you beat Kansas City.
Was that game in Indy?
Yes.
Okay. I was really happy to see that happen.
You were?
And that's just because of what happened to my team.
Yeah.
Think about it. Actually, if you look back at last weekend, all your top-tier quarterbacks other than Joe Burrow went down. No, actually, did Joe Burrow lose last week?
No, he won. He just beat
That was this week's games.
Cincinnati beat the Jets. Yeah.
Oh, that was... Okay.
Since he beat the Jets.
Okay.
But... Speaking about top-tier quarterbacks going down.
Yes, Joe Burrow was the only one really to top-tier quarterback that won last week.
Yep, because I know this man didn't win. Bills versus the Fins. And sad news that we're going to talk about later, but...
Well, you know, it was a 21-19 ball game, bro. But I'll be honest with you, Buffalo really beat themselves. And it doesn't help that we don't have like our full starting cast right now. We have a bunch of damn injuries. Which a couple NFL teams actually have going on for them right now. But even with the injuries that we have, bro, it was a 2-point game. And to understand it was a little bit more than that before the butt pump. But Allen threw for 400 yards. You know what I'm saying?
They just couldn't get into the end zone.
Buffalo possessed the ball for 40 minutes of a 60-minute ball game. You know what I'm saying? Like Tua was literally sitting on the sidelines majority of the game.
And...
Well, she needed to sit on the sidelines the whole second half of the game, but I think Buffalo beat themselves in this game, and I think they'll learn from it in this game, and they got a hellacious game next week. But 400 yards, bro, I'm not knocking the Bills right now.
Oh, y'all are still in the driver's seat in the AFC West. Trust me.
So, and it sucks for Miami what just happened to them, but. You know, as far as this game goes, Miami and Buffalo, it does suck. The stadium is set up beautiful for Miami. Have you ever seen that stadium at a 1 p.m. game?
Oh, my God. Miami's perfect.
Bro, kudos to
the
developer
designer
of that stadium because, like, you all have set that thing up beautifully to F over every visiting team in a 1 p.m. slot.
Yes. And their majority get the 1 p.m. slot because they're in Florida.
Holy Jesus. It was hot. They said the average temp on the field was 100 degrees, and your offense is on that thing for 40 minutes.
No, but I do want to, before we go any deeper about Miami especially, condolences to Tua.
Oh, you want to talk about that now?
Yeah, let's talk about it now, because...
Yeah, that was a situation he should have never come back out on the field in the second half of the Bills game. As much, I mean, even though he brought them to the win in that second half,
it wasn't worth it.
Look what it did to him. I think he's done now because, well, he's in. So I just read a report just a few minutes ago that he is out indefinitely until they can literally figure him out. I'm sad for him because number five pick. He came back from hip surgery, two ankle surgeries, which you know all about.
Yes.
He was your guy at Roll Tide.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, dude couldn't walk, and you put him back in the game. That's not – dude, that is so fucking not right. And I keep saying dude, and I'm sorry I keep saying that, but, like
– So
I'm a Bills fan, and that upset me because you ruined a dude's career.
With the hit. So, the first hit by Alonzo wasn't a malicious hit. It was a, hey, okay, you threw it, but I'm already in the motion. I'm just going to – happens 1,000 times over with many different quarterbacks. It was just the way he landed. And when he stumbled off the field, I don't care if he passed concussion protocol. Get him out of there.
Did you see? I just – okay, so I learned something new that I did not know. That in NFL stadiums during games, did you know that they got guys that sit up in the stadium and like if they see like a player wobbling like that, they literally radio down and they're like, hey, they need to be pulled from the game.
Yes.
They have spotters. I didn't know that they had spotters that literally looked for that stuff in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what the fuck happened? Where was the spotter at in that situation? Bro, if I'm a Dolphins fan, I am so pissed.
Oh, I want to see the league do something, but then – Now, this Thursday's game, that hit was a little bit more.
That was a slam, man.
Yeah,
that was
I don't understand.
Slam.
If anything, unnecessary roughness. But
they're definitely probably
– They're going to find the guy.
They're going to find him, but there should have been a penalty assessed in the game on that.
Which we're not talking about the game as being more important than actual because you probably just saw a man – probably play his last game of football.
Well, the thing is, though, and this is why Miami's getting investigated for this, because, again, should have never come out in the second half of the Bills game. As soon as you go into concussion protocol, you were out for a minimum of 10 days.
Yes.
Well, why – if you didn't want to call it concussion, you should have never said that rolling into halftime whenever you took him in. You know what I'm saying? You should have been like, hey, we're assessing for back injury. You know what I'm saying? But the moment that you came out and said – concussion protocol. He's in concussion protocol. Everyone's thinking like, okay, Tua's out.
Yeah, Tua's
out.
Don't
get me wrong. Bro, Tua came back and played an immaculate second half. He threw for 240 yards, a touchdown. You know what I'm saying? Like, he played his heart out. But is that worth your career just for one, just to beat the Bills for the first time in three years?
Let me ask you this. If you're a starting quarterback and they're like, hey, dude, you're good, you're bad. You don't know what, like, have you ever had a concussion?
Yes, I've had three.
Yeah, so you know it's like and if someone's like, yo, you're good, you're going to be like, oh, okay.
So I remember one time I got hit helmet to helmet in the side of the head on a kickoff.
Yes.
Well, when I got up and came to and went to the sideline and we went back on offense, like they assessed me for a concussion. But the problem was, it's like, what was it, probably fucking 20 years ago now, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were just like, hey, do you know what day it is? What color is this? What did it? They're asking you generic questions, you know what I'm saying? And if you're, as a kid, you're like, I want to fucking play this, you know what I'm saying? And I went back in the game and I was like, grab my receiver, like, hey, what do we run on this? And he's like, bro, we've practiced this all week. What I'm saying though is, like, if his coaches aren't going to be there for him,
someone needs to.
If healthcare is not going to be there for him, where's your fucking teammates, bro? And I'm sorry, I've said the F word three times tonight, and I've been counting in my head, and I'm trying to do better about it. But, like, where was your teammates? Like, he's on his fourth year deal, like on the fourth year of it.
Yes, exactly.
There's no money coming after this unless he stays and plays. So if he's done, he's done, and that's ridiculous. And that's what I fear for, like, with a couple other quarterbacks in this league, is like they haven't been, like, paid yet per se. Mm-hmm. They could take on an injury like that and be done. And they're what are you moving forward with?
Expendable.
Man? It's that's the negative side of the NFL, if you will. That's the beast of it, because like
next year, it's a business.
Hey, next year we got a draft. We can just get another quarterback.
We could just get another one of you and train them up.
It just I feel, as a Bills fan, I feel bad for Tua.
As a football fan, I feel awful.
And I feel like we spent quite a bit of time on this conversation, but I could talk about this for another 20 minutes, man. I'm really upset with
Miami. I'm just upset with
yes, thank you, the medical staff. And I'm upset with the Dolphins for I'm upset with Where's Waldo for putting his ass back in the game, because like that should never have happened.
No, it shouldn't have.
If the way he speaks about Tua in the press conferences that I've seen so far, if you cared about him that much, you would have never put him back in the game.
Oh no, if I was the head coach,
because you weren't at
that moment.
Week three, bro. There's 17 games.
And if I see my star quarterback that's supposed to bring me to the promised land do the chicken dance like he just got head kicked, go sit down. Go to the locker room. Go home.
I feel like all they did was put painkillers in him and send him back out there, to be honest with you. That's what it seems like.
But a little off of Miami. Hopefully, we hear better news coming out from the Tagovailoa family.
Tua, we'll be thinking about you, man. I know Bills Mafia has already been – I don't know if you saw this, but I think they actually started doing it for one of our other players that got injured. But they started donating $1.17 to Tua's foundation. $1 for his number.
Yeah.
17 cents for Josh Allen's number. Some people donated like $17.01 to his foundation, but it's all donations made by Bills Mafia going to the Tua, his foundation for kids that don't really have much.
And mind you, Tua, like you could talk crap all you want mm-hmm. about his football ability. No, he's a nice guy.
I have disliked Tua from the moment he got to college, because he has been on every team that I dislike.
Yes.
That's the only reason I dislike him. Think about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a fan.
Oh, yeah.
I dislike Tua because he played for Alabama and I'm a Gator fan. I dislike Tua because he plays for Miami and I'm a Bills fan. But as a human, bro, I feel bad for the human part of this concept, because, like, I don't want to lose to a half Tua. I don't want to lose to a backup quarterback. I want to lose to a healthy Tua.
And I
want to lose to a fully functioning Miami Dolphins.
And you want to see a good football player 100%. Stay amazing. You never want to see bad injuries. But there's one thing that did get injured that I'm pretty happy about.
Let's go. What's up?
And that's the Chargers' ego. Jacksonville Woo! Versus Chargers Duval.
You are feeling great today, aren't you?
No. No, I am not, because this week coming up. So
you know, I don't think you have I think we'll talk about the game coming up. But this game against the Chargers, bro, I understand, you know, Herbert's kinda injured.
Yeah. Same thing.
Bosa kinda injured.
Bosa got injured in that game.
But that's what I'm saying. Like they're number ones on both sides.
Yep.
But holy shit, bro.
And Keenan Allen.
I know Herbert was still playing. Yeah, Keenan Allen's kind of they're kind of injured bug like the Bills right now.
Yeah.
You kind of got you caught him at a good time.
But let's be honest though.
Let's be honest.
I'm being honest. We caught him at a good time, but
there you go.
With what we projected beginning of season, even that roster should have swept us out the arena. They should have been like, "Get out of here." Like, let's be honest. Everyone was saying Jacksonville is a bottom feeder team.
I don't think so. Not with the acquisitions that Jacksonville has made in the offseason, with their head coach, with their receivers that they brought in, with their linemen that they brought in. I'm telling you, there's a lot to be liking in Jacksonville right now. You got a two-headed monster at running back. You've got a damn good quarterback.
He's looking like a top 15 quarterback right now.
But that's what I'm saying, bro. I don't know why people be sleeping on these guys. Like, they are really good.
Here's why they were hating on Trevor Lawrence. The casual fans were like, hey, he did bad his year one. Peyton Manning did bad year one.
He's got the same stats as Peyton Manning in year one.
Oh, yeah. And then we're also forgetting about that awful, awful human being, Urban Meyer.
Yeah, but
the only reason he got hired, because he was a Florida head coach who's won national championships.
Well, I know, and we've talked about that, but what I'm saying though is, like, look, ever since they brought the ice cream man to town, I'm telling you that it's been a change. It's more of a family-based business now. It's like Buffalo's doing. It's a family-based business.
It's the pedigree. You the know, pedigree that he brings in.
Yes.
And he had to earn the players' trust. We've heard that in many different interviews. Like, hey, he went out there and said, hey, I understand this last guy did wrong, but I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. No one else but me.
No doubt, bro. And I'll be honest, dude. Even with broke ribs, Justin Herbert got 297 yards in this game. I know they didn't score much. It was
and he threw three interceptions. So
broke ribs, you know. But what I want to say here though is, Jacksonville is what, 2-1 now?
2-1.
They're 2-1.
Easily could be 3-0.
You got the Eagles next, and you got the Texans following.
This is a winnable schedule,
bro. If you can get past the Eagles.
If we beat the Eagles this year, like if we beat them this Saturday.
You guys could be potentially very, very small. I'd give it 5% probability.
I'll take it.
If you can get past the Eagles and that top 10 defense in the Texans and beat the Colts at home. Y'all are 5-1, man. Like I could see 5-1. But that all depends
if we get
on
past
how you play Philly.
Yeah, because oh my God, Philly
is. If you come out flat against Philly, then you got to play with emotions all week long leading into the Houston game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like y'all though. I mean, 38-10, 24-0 over the Colts, 28-22 over the. Or I'm sorry. 22. You lost to the Commanders 28-22.
Yeah.
But you progressively gotten better in points. You look at it, 22-24-38.
It's amazing. I love it.
And even with a touch of a banged up Chargers defense, their secondary is amazing.
Exactly. Like they.
So that's why I say don't worry about Philly, but don't worry about Philly because like they have a damn good backfield.
No, it's what's worried had. I we'll talk about Philly versus Jacksonville later.
Yeah.
But now. A little bit. I want to get your own personal opinion on something.
What you got?
Top five power rankings.
Wow, that
excluding this Thursday's game. Or we can't include this Thursday's game.
Okay. Power rankings.
Or are you gonna go 5-1 or 1-5? Let's go 5-1.
I'll go 5-1. And if I'm going 5-1, I'm gonna go 5. 5. I like. See here, they're kind of out of it now since that. I know, but like I like. Okay, so you can't leave KC out of this. I'm gonna go KC at 5.
KC 5.
I'm gonna go Ravens at 4.
Okay.
I'm gonna go. Oh, it's so freaking tough. KC 5, Ravens 4. I'm going to go. I didn't want to say this team. I'm going to go Tampa 3.
Tampa 3.
I'm going to go Buffalo 2.
Buffalo 2.
And I'm going to go Eagles 1.
So here's who I got.
And the only reason I don't have Miami in there is because they lost Tua.
Yeah, they probably would have.
That was a change. Like, literally happened. Today, yeah, yes. It happened last night. They came out of my Power Five because of what happened.
So the thing is, though, Miami would have won that game against Cincy.
I don't know if they would have won, but it would have been a much tighter game.
It would have been a much different game. But my top five, it's a little bit of the same. I got my Jaguars number 5.
They were a tough one. I wanted to put them in.
I got KC at number 4.
Okay.
Baltimore number 3.
Ooh. Okay.
Bills at number 2.
Okay.
And then obviously Eagles at number 1.
You fly high with Eagles?
Fly high Eagles. And fly the only Eagles thing fly. Is it's the same thing with Miami. I had Miami at number 2. And everyone pushed down.
And you want to put them there.
You want to, but I'm not but here for once. I'm here to be correct.
What? I love it.
Gotta love it.
I love you, bro. Like, I gotta be correct.
And
look.
There's no emotions in this game.
You would think I'm a fucking Dolphins fan, bro. Because, like, I am upset about this. I'm still upset about it, man. Because, like, I wanted it to be a nasty game come December whenever it's Bills Dolphins.
You wanted that rematch.
I wanted the rematch. And I'm upset that I don't feel like we're going to get it because Miami ruined their own player, man. I'm, like, really upset about that. But, no, fly, Eagle, bro. Like, I really like them at the one spot right now because they have shown.
They look the most complete.
They don't have no injuries. They're playing at a high level.
There's no question marks on the team.
Jalen's a beast.
Until he goes against the top five defense.
But then he'll run.
No, we got hitters out there that can run.
You think? Okay.
Devin Lloyd.
I think this will be y'all's biggest competition this week.
I think this is going to be the game of the week. But
okay,
talking about this week coming up, first game I really want to talk about is a battle of the AFC South. People who should have won, which is the Titans and the Colts.
Titans.
Colts, I wish both of them tie again.
Oh my God! Would that not be?
That'd be the best.
Titans Colts. That. So are we going pick'ems here?
Yeah, we're going pick'ems here. And let me tell you a little bit of facts about this. All right, Indianapolis had dominated this matchup for a long time, but Titans in recent years, being number one seed and all that, has flipped the script on them. With the emergence of Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill being mediocre, but they don't have A.J. Brown anymore. So, what is your picks for this game?
You know, I was thinking Titans.
Yep.
I really was, and I think I actually picked that as a prediction, and I'm going to have to change this.
Oh, you're going to change it?
I am. Because I have no faith in their offensive line. I gotta go Colts here, and I'll take that same score I have at 28-20. Just flip it to the Colts, and that's all due to the fact that they're down. Taylor Lewan's out the whole season.
What happened to him? I heard he was out, but
he got hurt against Buffalo. I think he rolled up his ankle.
Ooh.
But I don't trust Tennessee right now. I'm gonna go Colts. I'm sorry. I know we picked this game a couple days ago, but like I'm switching. Just gotta go Colts.
Okay, so I got 21-17 Colts as well. Michael Pittman, Matt Ryan being a little bit more better at being mediocre.
Well, Pittman's back. That's his boy.
Exactly, and that's my boy too. Fantasy.
I know.
I'll talk about fantasy later. So the next game, probably the game of the year, game of the century, the should have been Super Bowl with Nick Foles versus Blake Bortles, but Jacksonville versus Philadelphia. So. Jacksonville dominated against Chargers last week, and they're heading in as the underdog again against Philadelphia as a 7-point underdog. Only seven. And so, but this ain't the only time Jacksonville's been a dog in a game. And what, we 2-1 when we're dogs?
So what you got?
So I got Jacksonville pulling the upset against Hurts and the crew.
38-35.
38-35
and in Philly?
In Philly. We got to show them boys how Duval Love is.
Well, if I'm not correct, looking at history, I don't think Jacksonville has won a three-game stretch in ever.
2017.
They won three in a row?
I want to.
So that's why I'm going to go Eagles 35-21.
I mean, that's probably the safer pick, but. Duval.
I mean, hey, look at your team. They're doing well. It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard.
It's something different, you know.
No, it's the future.
It's
the future.
Hopefully, God, please. I'm tired of being mediocre.
You got to do something to compete in this AFC.
Yeah, you got to have a heartbeat.
Oh my God.
In the AFC South.
Holy well, yeah, that's all you need there. Yeah,
exactly.
But if you can get through that heartbeat and get to the playoffs, though, that's
right there. Playoffs, we won.
It's like the Colts coach back in the day. Playoffs?
The playoffs.
What do you mean playoffs?
I thought this was the playoffs. We play to get off the field. But next game, your injury-riddled Bills versus probably the most dangerous weapon in football right now, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Well, I'd say the top two most dangerous weapons in the NFL.
Lamar?
Josh and Lamar. They're probably the most two dangerous quarterbacks in the league right now. Josh Allen leads the whole league in passing. Did you know that?
Yes.
And I think Lamar leads it in rushing.
Yeah, but you got to throw Hurts from Philly in there too. But we're already done talking about Philly. So the Bills, Ravens, what are you looking at in this game?
I'm looking to see the Bills get a little bit better on defense this week with their backups.
Yeah.
Because like, that's what we're playing with a lot of right now. I expect us to do a little bit better there. I expect the offense to pick itself back up. I think Gabe Davis will be a little bit more healthy this week. So you got a nice trio there with Diggs, Davis, and McKenzie. Our running back game was starting to look much better against Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to see that get poured on a little bit more. From the Baltimore standpoint, I would like to see Lamar passing the ball.
Yeah, showing, expanding his repertoire.
And I think that's the big thing. And again, like, it's going to be kind of hard to bet against Baltimore in this sense because he is on a contract year, so he's going to be playing his butt off every single game.
Yes.
But it's in Buffalo. I'm going Buffalo 28. Oh, actually, it's in Baltimore, ain't it?
It is.
It's in Baltimore. I'm taking my Bills 28-17 over Baltimore.
I know I wrote this down, but I just can't bet against Lamar. I got Lamar torching that injury-riddled defense 42-38.
Ooh, close game. Hey, that sounds a lot like my other score.
In the last pick'em. Last pick'em.
What we got?
You got the man of the past himself, Tom Brady, facing off probably the next coming up between him and Allen.
Well, let's pray to God he's not the next Brady.
Patrick Mahomes.
I don't want my guy to be the next Manning. that matchup sucked for Manning and Brady. So
yeah,
Brady got the big stick on that one.
Yeah. No. But Mahomes versus Brady, Kansas City versus.
I think it'll be a good game.
I don't know.
Tell me what you got.
I just don't like either teams. So like Patrick Mahomes, y'all look sloppy against the Colts. Like, come on, it's the Colts. But I feel like y'all have a good enough offense. Clyde Solaire needs to get the rock running. You got Travis Kelce, who's basically, if he's one on one coverage, you're in good hands.
Yeah.
The only thing is, I want to see the wide receivers start playing more.
All the new additions that they brought. I like that. I agree.
And then with Tampa, y'all just look out of sync as a team.
They got Mike Evans back.
Yeah, but they got Mike Evans. But is it just me or their team as a whole just look like they're always missing a gear?
I think it's because of Brady's wife. You know, trouble at home. She's not making shrines for him anymore for his locker. I think we're seeing
the fall of Brady?
The fall of Brady because he did not hold up his end of the bargain with his wife.
But does the fall continue or do they catch the win?
As much as I don't like picking either one of these teams, I think Tampa should win because of the whole hurricane and the whole, like, everything coming together. And,
New Orleans Saints vibe.
New Orleans Saints vibe. I think this could be the time for him to kick it back on. Mike Evans is back. Julio Jones is back. Maybe Leonard Fournette will get a goddamn touchdown. Maybe. But I'm going to go KC here. I'm going to go KC 35-28 in RJ Stadium.
Okay. I got the Chiefs winning pretty handily, 42-17.
Really?
The fall of Brady continues. He should have stayed away.
Wow.
How many times we got to teach you this lesson, old man?
That's actually pretty good to go that low because, I mean, has he – what is it, one game over 20 points?
Yeah, one game over 20.
That's very non-Brady-esque right there.
Oh, and it's just
Dude. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, but you'll see next week on who wins the most of it.
How about we cap this thing off with a little bit of fantasy news?
I don't want to talk about fantasy.
Well, I think we need to for a little bit. I think everyone listening needs to go out and pick up Khalil Herbert if you can. I think they all need to make sure that they get Madison from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe pick up Jamal Williams from Detroit because almost every single NFC North running back
is injured.
So I know they're talking about keeping Swift out until week six because they go on a bye week, week six. So I think they're not projecting Swift back until week seven. Another keynote, though, to Detroit. Jameson Williams will be coming off the NFLI list, NFLI list week five.
Oh, that's good.
So I've been looking at him in my dynasty league because I'm a little weak on wide receivers in that league. But I don't think he will really make an impact. I think he'll be like a George Pickens for me. Like an end of the season. No, toward the end of the season.
Yeah, I know,
like,
but you're living and dying by George Pickens right now.
I'm not living and dying because I have decent wide receivers. I really feel like something is going to click in Pittsburgh, whether it's when Kenny Pickett comes in but there's something that's going to click. Come on. Everyone's got to have that feeling like they had. Like, okay, so like last year when we rolled into the season, Jamar Chase had a horrible, god-awful offseason, and he went late in drafts, right?
Yes.
Mind you, two different style receivers.
Very different.
But they both got hands for days.
But one had their college quarterback throwing to him.
You're right. You're right. But one also had injuries, too. Pickens got injured in college, so I think Pickens will be good toward the end of the season.
Yeah, but I really ain't got no fantasy news because my heart's broken.
Don't be that way.
My heart is.
Don't be that way.
I play you this week, and God forbid, not to sound like a negative Nancy to make a bad situation look bad for myself, but the whole Tua thing kind of
F'd you.
Oh,
I told you not to play him.
Unless if you just throw a goose egg. If you throw a wobbler.
You want me to just take my tight end out? Just like, take 0 points.
Besides Tua, like, my running back?
Yeah.
Joe Mixon, 25 points.
He looked great.
Defense, 8 points.
Eight points. Just,
that's double what they're projected.
Which was weird to me. Why did you do that? Why did you play Cincy's defense against your starting quarterback?
I didn't realize it.
Okay, so you had one of them knuckle moments where you're like, oh, Jesus, played my defense against my
So, team. Like, I'm sitting there watching on the couch, and I go, my God! And Lexi's like, what happened? I'm like, I left Cincinnati as my defense. And she goes, what's the problem with that? I'm like, Tua's my quarterback. And she was like, oh, you dummy. And I'm like, no.
I saw that, and I was like, and then Tua got hurt, and I was like, well, maybe Cincy's defense will pick it up and have a couple of picks and, like, you know, say,
yeah, they
like
did do 18, that.
But I was thinking maybe, like, try to get you closer to 18
yeah,
points.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping. You know, and I was like,
bomb at the end there where Hill caught it, like, the 10-yard
line.
I
was just
F'd you.
I was like, whatever. This week, I'm just, if I see three of your players score sub 10,
you know what?
I have a chance.
I hope
but you got Lamar Jackson.
You know why? Because you gave me no help in the NFL with your beating of my ass last week. So the payback is here, baby.
Oh, that was ugly.
You killed me last week.
What was it? 130 to
89? It's depressing. It's 130 to depressing.
It was duh, and my score pressing.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, hey, where's the alcohol? I need like three fucking shots to deal with this. Like, I got my ass handed to me. Like, I got beat so bad it looked like Tua getting his ass slammed into the ground last night.
Jesus Christ.
Like, and that's horrible because, like, I told you, I feel bad for him. But like, that's what my team did last week playing you.
Yeah, I did pick up Trevor Lawrence, though.
No, you didn't.
I have him on waivers.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Oh, who
Where you? At?
In our
ESPN league?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, because if you look.
Don't. Yes, you got Trevor!
Here, I got Trevor on my NFL
league. Are you going to get your first win in the NFL league?
I don't know, bro, but T. Higgins got me 36.4 points. Like, I don't even know what to do myself right now. I'm like, hey, it says I might win in this league.
Hey,
I'm like 0-3, bro. I'm going to be that team that plays the waiver wire so god dang well in the NFL league. Like, I'm going to come back with a vengeance, and I'm going to beat every single one of you.
We'll see. 0-3
ends today.
I think who you're playing has an 0-2.
Look, we're not talking about who I'm playing, okay? We're just saying the buck stops here today, and I start winning.
Oh, my God. But I think that's it for today's episode, man. I had a fun time. And always remember, keep that playbook next to you. Hope y'all have a wonderful night, a great weekend. I know this hurricane's gone by.
Yep, it was a touch of a doozy down South Florida. Hey, we're thinking about you guys. We're praying for you guys.
And if any of y'all could send any donations of the sort to Red Cross, Salvation Army.
Or even if you just, I'm telling you guys, if you just jump on any kind of social media and just type in Fort Myers and start looking at people's accounts down there, maybe start reaching out to them and seeing if they need anything personally. Because I'll be honest with you, whenever you donate to like Red Cross and stuff, I don't even know how far it gets to them. I'm a type of donator that was like, hey, let me send this to you.
Yeah,
directly. let's directly send these things to you. So like, reach out to us in our comments if there's GoFundMes, if there's things like that that we can help you guys out with. Drop it in the comments below. Let's get some help to our South Florida fans.
Let's get some love for over there. And big special shout out to the Sports History Network once again for partnering up with us this month. We enjoy their content, mm-hmm. learning about the sports that we might be too young to even read about or know about, and just getting more appreciation for the love of the game. And then we also got our Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the big podcast networks.
And don't forget, like and subscribe to us on YouTube and drop the comments down there, because we're trying to hit every avenue here. But we also want to be a better show for you guys. So, like, hey, any way that you guys can help us help you, that's what we're here for.
Yes, sir. And always remember, keep that playbook wide open when you see us on our screen, and we'll see y'all later.
Later, guys.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
With every race, every qualifying run, and every pit stop, Tim Coffeen would feel the pressure and excitement. With his own podcast on the Sports History Network called Tim Coffeen Talks IndyCar and Racing History, Tim will share those very same racing emotions and memories with his listeners. Learn, laugh, and enjoy the world of IndyCar racing through the eyes of Tim Coffeen.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.